Please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 this morning. And verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And our subject this morning is not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any should perish. And this will be our glorious theme as we consider this ninth verse in the third chapter of the second letter of Peter. And Peter, of course, well, just to remind you, I'm sure many of you are aware of these things. Peter was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He literally walked with the Lord. He saw the Lord with his own eyes. He was an eyewitness of his majesty, and he heard the Lord with his own ears. He was the disciple of the Lord. And well, this is the second letter of the Apostle Peter that is recorded for us in the New Testament. And well, there's much that we could say about this letter. But one of the themes that runs through this letter is the theme of being sure and certain. There are things in the Christian life that we have to be sure of. And well, one of the things that Peter mentions is that we have a more sure word of prophecy, a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, Peter is saying that when we read the scriptures and when we read the apostles in the Bible, well, this is a sure word because it's the word of God. This is not the word of men. This is not Peter's opinion. Neither in the Old Testament, it's not the prophet's opinion that we are reading, what they think about spiritual things. This is the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. So we can be more sure about this word. This is not fallible man's opinion to us. This is God's word. It's a sure word. The Apostle Peter also mentions that we are to make our calling and election sure. We are to be sure Christians, if I can put it that way. Are you sure that you're a Christian? You may say that you're a Christian, but are you sure? Do you know what it even is to be a true Christian? Do you know what it is to be saved, to be born again? Are you sure that you are a Christian? That's so very important. Make your calling and election sure. There's no point being a Christian if you're not sure that you're a Christian. That's ridiculous. So the Apostle Peter mentions this. We have a more sure word of prophecy, the word of God, but we also have to make our calling and election sure. The Apostle also speaks about false teachers, those who would surely come into the church. Ever since the very early days of the church, there have been false teachers. They are sure to infiltrate. And well, we read that, and the Apostle Peter, he gives us very many warnings that we are to be on our guard. We are to beware of false teachers coming in, those who do give their own opinions and who are not speaking the word of God. But in this third chapter, well, he is going to speak about something that is most sure, and he's going to be speaking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is sure, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many people, of course, don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. The unbelieving world, of course, does not believe this. The world scoffs at this. This is one of the reasons why people think that Christians, well, we're not completely sane. We believe crazy things. These Christians, they believe things that are impossible. They believe the Bible. They believe that God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days. And what's craziest of all, they believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. The world will scoff at all of these things. And even Christians they are reluctant to believe this, that the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. And well, sadly, it's been the case throughout the history of the Christian church that even preachers and even Christian ministers have foolishly said that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come on such and such a date. They've actually published a date and said the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come this day, or the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come this day. And well, that day has come and gone, and the Lord Jesus Christ has not appeared. And they've looked very foolish. And the whole world, well, they've been hardened in their unbelief. But dear friends, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ will return again, not because some preacher says it, not because some man says it, because the Lord says it. This is why we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. And well, the Apostle Peter, he was very aware of this. The Apostle Peter, he saw the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the Lord died, but he rose again the third day. And there were many resurrection appearances. But Peter saw the Lord Jesus Christ ascend up into heaven. He saw him with his own eyes going up into heaven. And well, there were two men alongside the disciples. And remember what they said, two angels most likely. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Just as you are seeing the Lord Jesus Christ ascend up into heavenly places, you will see him come again. This is a promise. It's a promise of God. And this is why we believe it. Because God has promised. Look at this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And then in verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Well, there's much we could say about that, but the day of the Lord will come and we shall all see him. Every eye shall see him, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess when the Lord comes. And it's mentioned here as a thief in the night. When the Lord comes, it will be dramatic and sudden, like a thief. It will be unexpected. You never expect a thief to come. It's going to be unexpected when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And dear friends, we must all be certain about this. Is there anybody here who's unsure? Don't be unsure. This will most certainly happen. And this is why we preach the gospel. This is one of the great reasons. Because Christ is coming again. So many people say to me, why do I have to worry about Christianity? About the Lord Jesus Christ who lived thousands of years ago in a far off place. What has that got to do with me? Well, it's because the Lord is coming again. He is coming again. That's why we have to worry. That's why we have to take it seriously. If Christ was just a figure of the past, well, there would be no point in preaching Christ. But it's because Christ is coming again. Christianity is not just about the past. Christianity is about something that will come, will surely come. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It's a promise, dear friends. And so this is what we have to present to the unbelieving world, that the Lord Jesus Christ will come again, and this is promised. But why is there such a delay? Because this is what the Apostle Peter is describing in this chapter. There has been 2,000 years since the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years. And many people have waited for the Lord, as I've already mentioned, but year after year has gone by and the Lord has not come back. Why is there this long delay? Well, let's consider this verse and, the answers will come to us. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's not slow. He hasn't forgotten, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's long-suffering. What does that mean? Well, let me put it to you in this way. Many people will ask a Christian, where is God when bad things happen in the world? When there is poverty, when there is crime, when there is a terrorist attack, when there is so much corruption, why doesn't God do something about it? Where is God? Does he not care? Why doesn't God intervene and do something glorious and, stop all the evil that is in the world? Does he not care at all? Well, the answer as to why things go on as they do is because God is long-suffering to usward. When God looks upon the world, yes, of course, he sees all the evil. Yes, of course, he sees all the wickedness. And you know, he cares about it far more than you do, far more than any of us do. We can watch something on the news. We can hear of some atrocity. We can hear of some crime, and we don't even care about it. But when God sees all of these things going on in the world, he is grieved. He is a holy God. When he sees all of the terrible things, he's far more concerned than you or I are. But dear friends, the reason he doesn't act is because there is a special day coming. Judgment is reserved for that one day. So when people ask us, why doesn't God do something about this? Why doesn't God do something about that? We say God will do something on that great and coming day, that day of judgment. Judgment is reserved until that day, but he is long-suffering to usward, but that day will come. And the whole world will have to stand before God. The whole world will have to answer to God for all the wickedness, for all the evil deeds of the world. Everybody will have to stand before God, and that will be a day of justice. It's called a day of judgment, but we see it as a day of justice. All the evil that has taken place, there will be justice on that day. But dear friend, this is my point. Are you prepared for that day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again? Because when God comes to deal with the whole world, with the sins of the whole world, God is going to come and deal with your sin as well. God is not going to just deal with the sins of some people, the people who you think are wicked. God is going to deal with the things that you have done. We all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The whole world will have to give an account. Are you prepared for that day? Are you ready? If God sees sin in you, even a small sin, even a tiny sin, God will have to deal with you on that day. Are you ready, dear friends? This is what I want to put to you. Examine yourself. Are you ready for that day? We read in this verse that God on that day is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish. What does perish mean? Do you know what that word means, perish? Well, we can probably sum it up in the word death. But you know, death, we have to be very clear on the meaning of death. When the scriptures talk about death, it doesn't mean that we just cease to exist. That's what the world likes to think. When you die, you're absolutely nothing at all. You cease to exist. No, death in the scriptures, you are still conscious. You know what's going on. But when you die, well, when you perish, you are cut off. You are lost eternally. You are forever separated from God. That is what it means to truly die. Death is about separation. This is why we mourn when people die, because we are separated from our loved ones. That's what death is. It's a great separation. But death, in its ultimate sense, is about separation from God, eternally separate from God, and separate from all the things that come from God. You're cut off not just from God, but from joy, from peace, from love, from happiness, from kindness. You're eternally cut off from those things, never to return, ever. That's what it is to perish. That's what it is to die. That's the scriptural definition of death. It's not just that we cease to exist. You perish. You are eternally, everlastingly cut off from God. But dear friends, we read here, and I repeat it, God is not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, the most famous verse in the Bible is most likely John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Mark that, should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is how we know that God is not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any should perish, so much so that he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he has eternally loved. He sent him into this world. And it was God's will that he come. It was God's will that he be born of a virgin. It was God's will that he be laid in a manger. It was God's will that he live and dwell amongst men. It was God's will that he goes to the cross. It was God's will. God's will that he take upon himself the punishment for sin instead of us. That the Lord Jesus Christ would perish instead of us. That he would be separated from the Father. That he would be forsaken of God instead of us. God is not willing that any of us should perish. And this is the measure of his love, that he sent his only begotten Son to suffer and to die in our place. God is not willing that any should perish. And this is what we have to understand. This is what we have to believe. That the Lord Jesus Christ has died for us. Dear friends, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is the desire of God, that you know him, that you know his salvation, that you know his love. Well, how is it with your will, dear friends? We understand that the will of God is that we all know salvation. All of us, every single one of us gathered here, every single one who is listening to this message, God is not willing that any of you, not a single one of you, should perish. So what about your will? How are you going to choose? God gives us a choice. You know, if you end up in hell, if you end up being eternally lost, it's not because God was willing to send you there. It's because you were willing to go there. Or rather, it's because you were not willing to accept God. That's why you end up in hell. You were not willing to believe in God. You were not willing to admit that you were a sinner. You were not willing to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You were not willing to repent or to have faith. That's why you'll end up in hell. It's not because God wants to send you there. It's because you were not willing. So I ask again, how are you going to choose? It's your choice. This is wonderful. God allows us to choose. God never forces you. You know, we've seen in the last few months people being forced to do things against their will. Now, I'm not going to say too much about this, but we all understand, yes, we have to save lives and so on in this coronavirus, and that's good and right. But, you know, people have had to do things against their will. Even if you don't want to wear a mask, you have to. And we're going to be separated from our families against our will. In order to save life, we are being forced to do things against our will. But with salvation, with the salvation of our souls, God never forces our will. He wants us to choose willingly and freely. Come. This is the heart of God. He will not force us. He wants us to willingly choose Him. So will we willingly choose? Why would we turn away from this God, this glorious God, the God of our salvation? Come, dear friends, come even this day. Change your will. Turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I know I need you. I know and I believe that there is a day of judgment coming. It's sure. It's a promise of God. And if I do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be lost eternally. I will perish. So I change my will. I live for God. This is my free decision, my free choice. I live for God. I repent. I turn away from the world. And I dedicate myself to thee. This is the message of this ninth verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Dear friends, this is all I have to say, but this is the message. Come to the Lord. The Lord desires that you know him and love him, and this is the desire of every Christian, that each and every one who hears this message be saved, even this day. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us. Let us turn in our hymn book to our final hymn this morning, hymn number 432. Hymn number 432. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun, and in that light of life I'll walk till travelling days are done. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God, O Lord, help us each one. Help us to know that we must be found in Christ when that great and coming day of judgment and justice appears. That day will surely come like a thief in the night, dramatic and unexpected. O Lord, may we all each one be ready. There will be no hope for us. We will all perish if we willingly turn away from Christ. Dear Lord, turn our hearts and our wills to thee. May we truly repent. May we truly have faith. May we not send ourselves to eternal loss. May we not send ourselves to hell. But dear Lord, by faith in Christ, may we be found in heaven, that eternal place of peace and joy and everlasting love. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.